Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for our visitors. Thanks for folks that are going to visit in the next few weeks. Lord, thank you for these letters. And we just ask that you'll bless them, that you'll send them out. And Lord, we just know that there's folks that live around us, around the church here, that are they're looking for a church home. They're looking for a family. They're looking for people that will welcome them in and be friends and neighbors. And, Lord, we just pray, Father, that they'll work through these letters and put it on their heart to come and visit and be a part of our men's ministry and our women's ministry and our youth ministry and all the other Sunday school and everything else that's going on here. And Lord, I ask you to bless today. Thank you for the season. We definitely understand the reason for the season. And as we celebrate that in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I love you. I ask you to bless this message. Help me share it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be in the book of John. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to John. This message is called Christmas Love Story. So, John chapter 3. As soon as you get to John chapter 3, some of you may not have ever heard this verse before. If you haven't, we're going to go over it a little bit this morning. So, John chapter 3, verse 16. So we'll read together. It says, "For God so loved," he did what? Love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, everybody say whoever, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you know, we've heard this verse, some of you, thousands of times, probably hundreds maybe, and we get so used to it that it maybe just becomes that verse that we all know and we can all quote. So this morning we're gonna look at it a little bit. Amen. Can you hear it? Can anybody hear that? The buzz is in the air. Maybe you can feel it. I can sure feel it. And I can hear it. And I can sense it. I have these little senses. Remember those from school? They're going off everywhere. It's Christmas time. Amen? It's a very special time of the year for most people. Now, some folks struggle with Christmas time. And I respect that. And actually, I really understand that. It took me a while. We were talking about in the men's meeting the other night that some of us struggled through that. But, you know, we can make it through this if you're struggling with Christmas time. Okay, but it is a good time of the year. It's the time when God chose to come to earth in human flesh. As they say, heaven came down and glory filled our souls. So I'm going to tell you a little story about this Christmas love story, and this is where we'll start. The renowned theologian, Dr. Karl Barth, most folks have never heard of him, but he was a very, very smart man, and he was a guest lecturer at the University of Chicago Divinity School. And at the very end of his lecture, it was a very powerful lecture, and the president of the seminary told everyone that he was feeling ill, he was very tired, and so he needed to sit down and rest. Kind of reminded me a little bit of what the ladies, Lynn told me that Kay Arthur was kind of tired at the end there, and she laid her head down to rest, or pray, or both, you know. And I'm sure the ladies had a good time. Lynn said, "Y'all had fun at the Kay Arthur luncheons, conference." I think that's awesome. So the president of the seminary told the students that Dr. Barth was going to sit down and he was going to ask him one question on behalf of all the students. And the seminary professor asked Dr. Barth, he said, of all the theological insights you have ever had, which do you consider to be the greatest of them all? That was the perfect question for him because he had written literally tens and thousands of letters and articles regarding some of the most sophisticated theology ever put into print. He's a very smart man. The students were ready. They had their pens and they were ready to take notes of this awesome man of God. So Dr. Barth closed his tired eyes and he thought for a moment. And then he began to slightly grin. And then he told those seminary students this. He said, the greatest theological insight that I have ever had is this. And he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And then he sat down. You really think about that. That's powerful. I had a friend one time. I still consider him a friend, but he's moved on to New Mexico, actually. And we keep in touch occasionally on Facebook. But years ago, he used to struggle a lot with feeling like God loved him. Now, he was a strong Christian man, in my opinion. He had a big heart. He loved people. He loved God. But he struggled with God loving him. And he used to always tell me, I don't feel like God loves me. And I don't want to call his name because, well, he knows who he is if he's listening to this. But I'd say, it's not about feelings. It's not about you feeling like God loves you. We're not saved based on feelings. We don't have really a relationship with God based on feelings. Even though sometimes we do have happy feelings and joyful feelings and all that we sing about at Christmas. But we're saved by faith. We're saved by grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. So I kept telling him, he would ask me, how do you know that God loves you? And I would tell him, sometimes I don't feel like it. But it's not based on my feelings. It's based on what God's Word says. The Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me that God loves me. And it shows me how much He loved. He sent His only begotten Son, right? To die on the cross. And be raised from the dead. Jesus took that punishment for me. So he laid it all out. This is how I know that God loves me personally. Amen. My friends, I submit to you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest love story ever told, ever written, ever recorded. I wish with all my heart that people would really start reading the Bible from this perspective. That it's a love story. And it really is. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Heath, we went to minister to at a halfway, the men's ministry, and went to cook Thanksgiving for our halfway house in Valdosta. Great guys, some of y'all know. I know I've got some visitors here, but Heath shared the Bible study. Well, 15, 20 minutes, right? But he said something that was so powerful. I was sitting there just, okay, you know, we just ate a big Thanksgiving meal. But he said something that was so powerful that it just went straight through my soul. And it actually changed me. And this is what he said. He said that the Bible is a letter to me from my Heavenly Father. In other words, it's like instantly the Holy Spirit just... I had a little paradigm shift. It was like, it just shifted right there. I was sitting there in that little chair, And it just shifted for me. And all of a sudden I saw my Father, my Heavenly Father, mine. I know He's yours too. So, you know, you'll be all right. Right now I'm talking about me. My Heavenly Father wrote me a love letter. He wrote me a letter to teach me how to be a man, how to be a husband, how to be a friend, how to be a father and a grandfather, how to be a neighbor, how to be a citizen, how to be a businessman, how to manage my money, how to handle my negative emotions that come and go. My Father wrote me a letter. I hope that resonates with you. I hope that quickens your spirit to begin to see the Bible a little bit differently. I wish everyone could experience the love, that love. I got just a little bit of it, but it's enough that it's changing my life. See, guys, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Guys, the birth of Jesus is Christmas. Amen? The birth of Jesus is Christmas. And Christmas is a classic love story. And in all relationships of love, there must be that first meeting, that first encounter. Occasionally, I will entertain these goofy thoughts and ideas about the what ifs. You know, what if? Everybody say, what if? What if? Don't do it no more. What if? What if I had not enlisted in the military? What if I had enlisted in a different military branch? We've all done that, right? What if I'd done this? What if I'd done that? If I had enlisted in a different military branch or not at all, Lynn and I might have never crossed paths. And that's my beautiful bride over here, Lynn, if you guys don't know. We might not have had that first meeting. And it was awesome. Some of you, I've told that story before. I won't tell it this morning. But if you're curious about our first meeting, get with me later. I'll tell you all about it. And if we had not crossed paths, you know, if we have not crossed paths, we might never have known this wonderful love that we share together for 35 years. Christmas is a crossing of paths. Billy Graham used to say it this way. He would say, Christmas is where we find the Son of God intersecting with humanity. Think about that. Christmas is our first meeting with God. Personally, you know, Christmas is our first meeting with God, who has desired a relationship with us from the very beginning of time. If not for Christmas, we might not ever have known the intense love that God has for each one of us. God loves you. So here we are, Mary and Joseph. You know the story. We'll get into that next week and the following week. But right now I just want to do a little intro to the Christmas story. But Mary and Joseph are far from home. Mary's a young mother from the country, and she's given birth. And so they lay Jesus in the manger, and they watch his little face, and they listen to his little breathing, just like every couple would do, right? And Christ was born. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was born in this world. The one who embodied the love of God that has for each one of us. You see, God loves you. Not some of the time. Not when it's convenient. But in every moment of every day. You see, it's the birth of Christ. Really, this is the reason that we celebrate this Christmas time. It's all about Him. And this crossing of paths, this intersection of the divine and the human, took place really in a remote speck of a dust village called Bethlehem in Judea. And in that time, and in that place, one would be born into this world to become the light of the world, to become the light of the world. This is the night when God sent out a love letter of cosmic proportions. It was a love letter to each one of us. This is the night when Christ entered the world fully God and fully human. This is a love relationship that is so powerful and so deep that our little small minds, we can't really wrap around it. It just really doesn't we just really don't understand it. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 says this. And listen closely to each of these little words. Romans 8, 38, it says this. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You know, in our world today, it seems like that everywhere you turn, and I know this is really prophecy, but in everywhere you turn, you hear people talking about peace and love. You hear it around the world. You hear it in our country. We talk about it in our own lives. So many people believe that true peace and love is just over the next horizon. Just over the hill. Just around the corner. That's what they believe. And I don't know why I'm getting caught up in this Peanuts thing this year, Charlie Brown, but here we go again. Ready? In a Peanuts comic strip, Lucy is speaking with Linus at the base of a hill. She says to Linus, "Someday I'm going over that hill and find the answer to my dreams. Someday I'm going over that hill and find hope and fulfillment. I think for me, all the answers to life lie just over the grassy slopes of that hill." Linus removes his thumb from his mouth and points toward the hill and responds, "Perhaps there is another little kid on the other side of that hill who is looking this way and thinking that all the answers to life lie on this side of the hill." Oh. Lucy looks at Linus and she turns toward the hill and she yells, "Forget it, kid! Forget it!" That's kind of funny to me, but in all seriousness, are you searching for peace today? Are you searching for love today? Does it seem like life's answers are just out of reach? Just over the next hill? I don't know. Let me share with you today that you can find peace. You can find true peace and true love in Jesus Christ. He has come into our world. He has brought a peace that the world cannot give. A peace that surpasses all understanding. a peace given by Jesus himself. He says it clearly in John 14, 27. He says, Jesus says this. Listen, this is Jesus. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Guys, this is the Christmas season. This is the season. Jesus promises that if you will trust him, he will give you a peace that cannot be taken away. The angels declared it on that Christmas day. They said, glory to God, peace on earth, and goodwill toward men. Now I'd like to close this message by telling you a story. They say it was a true story. It was about a nativity pageant. In this nativity pageant and play at church, like life itself did not go quite as planned. It was with a youth group. A youth group at a certain church were performing a manger scene. Joseph and Mary and all the other characters were ready and in their places. They did their parts, and they were very serious. They were very committed to their acting the little play out. They were looking as pious as they possibly could. And then it came time for the shepherds to enter in. Dressed in flannel bathrobes and toweled headgear, the shepherds proceeded to the altar steps where Mary and Joseph looked earnestly at the straw in the manger. This manger contained a single light bulb that played the part of the glowing newborn Jesus. When his back, you know, with his back to the congregation, I keep thinking about little Johnny, but anyway, when his back is to the congregation, one of the shepherds said to the young boy playing Joseph in a very loud whisper for all the cast to hear, well, Joe, when are you going to pass out cigars? The solemn moment of that occasion was not simply broken by his remark. It was exploded, you know. Mary and Joseph's cover was completely destroyed as it became impossible for everyone just not to laugh. And they were just laughing out of control. It says the chief angel, standing on a chair behind them, shook so hard from laughter that she fell off the chair, took the curtain back, dropped, and all the other props down, crashing with her. I could just see this. She just kept rolling on the floor, holding her stomach because she was laughing so hard. The whole set was in shambles. Now, however, amazingly, the only thing that did not go to pieces was that small, glowing light bulb in the manger. See, it never stopped shining. My dear friends, that baby in the manger is the light of our world, even when our world is in shambles. Jesus still shines. Amen. For in that baby, the divine and the humans cross paths. You see, Jesus is our living, breathing sign of the immeasurable love that God has had for all of us from the very beginning of time. Christmas is the living promise that we are never, ever alone. and that there is always hope. No matter where we are in life, no matter what condition that we find ourselves in, no matter how far we might stray, or how unfaithful we are, and we all are, God, in all His love, will continue to pursue you. And He loves you with an everlasting love. It is a love that will never stop shining. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for loving us so much that you offered your Son to die on the cross to take the place for each one of us. Lord, I am a sinner. I have sinned and I still do sin. But the only thing I can do is trust in you and trust in your salvation. That you died on the cross, you were buried, and you were raised up on the third day. I place all my faith, not feelings, not intellectual thoughts, but I place my faith, that little mustard seed of faith that you planted in me. I place my faith in you, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Thank you for sending your Son. Father, if there's here one this morning that has never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, we're not talking about being religious. Oh, that's a bunch of mess. But Lord, we're talking about a personal relationship with Christ. Where the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So Father, during this song of invitation, if you'd like to come down, and I'd be glad to pray with you or talk with you about making it right with the Lord today. Maybe there's folks here that like to join the church or maybe get baptized. That would be awesome too. So Father, we just give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.